And then I called the police, too. Gave them all the information I had. Beyond that, there was nothing to do but wait. Later, as I walked through the lobby, I passed a woman seated in a chair that faced the elevators. She was utterly nondescript, wearing dark clothes and black hat. But after I entered the elevator, I gave her a second look through the glass. There was something about that face. This whole dreadful business was discoloring everything. Helen had left the door open for me, and I walked through the anteroom into my office. I went over to the desk and sat down, lit a cigarette. Hello?
Mr. Atherton?
Yeah.
Lieutenant Rogers, District Police. I thought you'd like to know that the ambulance has been located, abandoned on a side street in Georgetown. I'll let you know when we catch him. I'm going down there myself.
Good, fine. Thank you very much, Lieutenant Rogers. Goodbye. And then, again, I did something I didn't want to do, but I had to. There's that woman in the lobby. I had to take another look at that woman in the lobby. I took the elevator down and got out. She was still there, seated in her chair. She was talking to a man who stood beside her. His back was to me. As I walked by, I looked at her very carefully, and suddenly I recognized her. It was the nurse, out of uniform. I looked at the man. Yeah. Raiden. And in that instant, I understood everything. Somehow, they had lost Hillary in the hotel, carried the nurse out on the stretcher, and laid a false trail to Georgetown with the ambulance. And now they returned to find her, to kill her while they still had the chance. For them, the safest spot in Washington was the hotel. For Hillary, it was a death trap. I went quickly into a phone booth, started to call the police. And then I saw Raiden suddenly jerk his head upward toward the mezzanine above the lobby. He said something to the woman and quickly started toward the stairs. I left the phone booth and followed him. I knew he'd seen only one thing, Hillary. I darted up the stairs just in time to see him enter the door at the end of the mezzanine.
Come on in, friend. Come on in. I'm Jack Clark. What's your name?
Huh? Well, never mind. Look, where did the man go came in here just now? I don't see him.
Man? What man?
Well, just a few seconds ago. You must have seen him. And just before that, there was a girl.
Oh, a girl. Well, listen, friend. Girls spell trouble. Nothing but trouble. Forget her. Now, come on, have a drink and forget her.
No, I don't want a drink. Just tell me, where did he go?
I'll find you a drink, friend. Now, you wait right here.
And a drunken fool staggered off through the crowd, and I looked around very carefully. The room was jammed almost entirely with men there standing around in groups, drinking, all talking at once. I couldn't see Raiden anywhere, nor Hillary. But I noticed an exit across the room, and I started to make my way toward it.
Here you are, friend. Here's your drink. You thought I'd forgotten you, huh? Well, not Jack Clark, see? Well, here, take it.
No, thank you very much, but I can't. I've got to go.
Go? Oh, you can't go yet. The party's just started.
I know, but I...
So you won't drink with me, huh? Too good for me, huh?
Don't start that. Now, look, you wait right here. I'll be back in a moment.
I broke away from him and pushed my way toward the exit across the room. I was wasting precious time. Raiden might have caught up to Hillary already. I got out and closed the door behind me. I was in a little recess off the mezzanine. Just across from me was another door. Well, the only thing I could do is try it. Inside, I discovered about 20 women and a sprinkling of small boys seated in neat little rows facing the opposite end of the room. There on the platform stood an extremely tall, emaciated young man with straight yellow hair and his head thrown back, eyes closed. The audience was listening to him intently. I looked around. I didn't see Raiden. A woman was seated near the door alone. I tiptoed over to her.
Really?
Excuse me, madam, but did you see a man? I'm sorry, but this is a matter of life and death. I must know if you saw a man come in here a few minutes ago.
Really?
Please, I must know.
All right, if you must know, I certainly did, and I'm going to complain to the management about all you people bursting in here.
Where is he? Where'd he go?
He walked right down the aisle and out through the door behind Mr. Quilliam. And don't you dare do the same thing. Mr. Quilliam won't...
I didn't wait to hear any more. I went down the aisle, around the platform to the door at the rear of it. Apparently, Mr. Quilliam was unaware of my presence. I went out quickly, breathing a sigh of relief. But as I closed the door behind me, I felt far from relieved. It was a storeroom, piled high with tables, chairs, sad bits of old holiday decorations. I spotted another door, and as I ran toward it, I wondered if Hillary was gone through, too. To my surprise, it was on the second floor dining room. It was deserted now, except for a string quartet practicing on the stage. I started toward them, and then I stopped. And there, standing in rapt attention to the music, was Hillary, safe and alive, listening as though hypnotized. She stood there, her lovely face softened by the music. Then all at once she turned and looked at me. Hillary. Hillary. Now it's all right. I want to help
you. No.
But you mustn't run away again.
I got away from them, all three of them. And I can get away from you.
Hillary, I'm trying to
help you. I won't go back to them.
Please.
They'll kill me.
Hillary, listen to me. You were right. That was not Dr. Broom. I've talked to the real Dr. Broom, and he says you're perfectly sane. You have nothing to fear.
Please, we are rehearsing.
I don't believe you. When I was out there, you told me I was not sane, and you made me go back. They want to kill me.
Please.
As she said it, the door near the stage slowly opened, and through it came Raiden. I grabbed Hillary by the arm, and I dragged her through the sliding doors in the main entrance. I glanced down the hall toward the elevator, but it was too far. Raiden would be halfway across the dining room by now, so we took the stairs and we ran down. Down, further down, all the way to the basement. There we could find a way out of the hotel. At the bottom of the stairs, however, Hillary stopped.
Where are you taking me?
Away. Away from him.
Away? From who?
But you saw him in the dining room. That's your kidnapper.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
Hillary, you must believe me. Quickly, he's coming. There was no time now to get out to the streets. I pushed her through the nearest door and closed it, but for a tiny crack through which I could see the stairs. In a moment, Raiden's feet appeared. And then his hand, with a gun in it. I closed the door quickly and fumbled at the lock, and it worked. In the back room, someone was operating what sounded like a pressing machine. But there was another door, and I pulled Hillary after me. We were in the laundry. It was deserted. And in its windowless, unlighted dusk, I could see the huge white shapes of the washing vats. I pushed Hillary behind one of them. And then behind the door, leaning in the corner, was a short, smooth tube before, and I grabbed it. And then I stood there and waited.
Yes, I'm coming!
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I didn't know it was locked.
Where is she?
There's nobody here but me.
Don't lie to me. I saw them.
But, sir, I'm all alone here.
I smashed his gun arm with my club. He turned toward me momentarily confused. I raised my club again, and I brought it down. Glanced off his temple, and he slumped heavily to the floor. He lay there, quite still. The tailor appeared in the doorway, dazed.
The police. I'm going to call the police.
Suddenly, Hillary reached up and picked Raiden's gun up. Before I could make a move, she sprang to her feet and stood there facing me, holding the gun directly at my stomach.
Who are you? Who are you?
Hillary,
Hillary, it's over. There, that's Kurt Radin. He murdered your mother. She didn't commit suicide. And you're sane. Don't you understand? You're sane.
You're not real. You came out of my mind.
Hillary, stop it.
This afternoon in the window, you were my own mind telling me the truth. That I am insane, like my mother. Now you're my own mind telling me what I want to hear. That I'm safe.
No, Hillary, no. I'm real. And you're safe. Now listen to me.
But I know the truth now. I'm insane like my mother, but I won't stay here. I'll die. I can't do it. Now, I can kill myself.
I hit the gun the instant she pulled the trigger, and the bullet tore a groove across the fleshy part of my hand, buried itself in the wall. I stood there, looking at my hand, which was bleeding. And then I looked at her. And I saw to my astonishment that her face had relaxed. And she moved towards me, slowly, closer and closer. And she reached out her hand to touch the blood on mine.
Blood? You're bleeding. You are real. You are real.
Yes. Yes, Hillary, I'm real. And it is true about your mother. She didn't kill herself. And you're safe.
Yes. Yes, safe. And I can believe what you tell me?
Yes, Hillary, you can believe me. You can believe everything I tell you. And everything I'll ever tell you.
What's your name?
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.